Well, good morning, class.
Morning.
Good to be in the Lord's house again. Good to have you here again. And again, we're all grateful for this day the Lord has made. And let us rejoice and be glad in it. And it's always good to be with God's people, no matter when it is, but especially on Sunday. And we're glad to have each one of you here. Those that are visiting, we're glad to have you with us today. And trust God will bless you today and meet your needs today. God knows what they are. Take your Bibles once again today and turn back to Hebrews for last week. Last week we began a study. We'll continue that today. Hebrews chapter number 2. Recall last week I asked you a question, what's the greatest thing ever happened to you in your life? And we all have to conclude was that we're saved, we're children of God. And that's a great blessing to know that without any doubt in your life. And we talked about last week this salvation. Today we want to continue with that as we look in Hebrews again, chapter number 2, read a few verses. We're going to review a little bit from last week, and then we'll continue with our study today. Well, let's pray first. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for this day that you've allowed us to gather together once again in your house. Thank you for everyone that's here. I pray, Lord, now as we come together that you would meet with us, Lord, that you would help us and lead us and guide us in everything that we say and do. Lord, may your people today be encouraged. Lord, may they be strengthened. And God, may we be more appreciative, maybe, of what you've done for us as we again look at life and look at where we are and why we are where we are. Lord, we realize it's all because of you. God, we ask you now to help us. May your word today be exactly what we need in our life. And God, help that one, Lord, that's discouraged to be encouraged. One that's hurting. Lord, may the hurt be relieved. And God, those that are just having difficulties, whatever it may be, we know you're able. And God, we trust you today to meet that need according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. I said last week, the writer of Hebrews in chapter 1 confirmed to us that Jesus Christ was greater than the prophets or the angels. Prophets or the angels. And we find here in chapter number 2, verse number 1, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed. That is, because of the fact that Jesus Christ is greater than the angels, he's greater than all the prophets, we ought to give heed to him and what he said, what God says about him in the Word of God here. And then we got down to verse number 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? We talked about that last week, how we neglect our salvation. That is, neglect means to be careless of, to make light of it, or to not regard it at all in our life. You know, many times, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves neglecting to tell people about Christ, what he's done for us in our lives. And that's not regarding our salvation. We need to be reminded every day of our salvation. I'm reminded of Brother J.B. He says so many times in his prayer and in his conversation, in his life, Lord, help me not to forget where you brought me from. And may that be our motto in our life also. Always be reminded where God's brought us from. And when we do that, we realize, hey, how God has saved us. He saved us to tell other people about Christ. And so we see here, we should not neglect our so great salvation. And we entitled this section, So Great Salvation. How salvation is great. It's great in many respects to us. It's great because of God's great love towards us. and how he so loved us. It's great because he's opened a gate, so to speak, for all mankind to be able to be saved and trust Christ as their Savior. So it's so great. It's so vast. The word so there means mighty. It's vast. That is salvation. It's mighty. It's vast. Also, it's so great because the most vilest offender, the most wicked person on this earth can be saved, no matter who they are. And so it's so great because of that. And one day, our wonder, our transport, that is Jesus Christ, we're going to see him face to face. It's wonderful because of that. It's great because of that. We're going to see the one. Folks, one day, face to face, as the song put it, one who died for us. And my, that's great to know that in our life. And so we see last week we talked about this so great salvation. Now, go back to John chapter 3 again. A very familiar verse we read last week. When we broke John 3:16 down into four different areas last week, as we're going to try to study about this so great salvation. So great salvation. Notice, first of all, these four things about this verse here in John 3:16. First of all, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, when we talk about salvation, this is God's plan, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, we said last week that this word so here in John 3:16 means in this manner. You could say this, for God in this manner loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For God in this manner, he loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is how God manifested his love towards mankind, by giving his Son to come and live and literally die for mankind. So we see that we talked about God's plan. This is God's plan. Now also we see in this same verse that whosoever believeth in him, that's God's purpose. God would have all men to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ, and receive him as their personal Savior. That's God's purpose. Then we have should not perish. That's God's promise. If you believe in my Son and trust him as your Savior, you will not perish. That's his promise. And then we see, but have everlasting life. That's God's provision. God's provision. One day, we have everlasting life beginning the moment we trust Christ, but this life is going to last throughout eternity with the one that we trusted as our Savior. So we broke John 3:16 down, and last week we started on the first section, God's plan. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm grateful for that today, aren't you? I'm grateful to know that God in heaven, who created the heavens and all the earth and everything in it, he so loved mankind that he provided a way, knowing that man was going to sin in the beginning. He had a plan already intact, so to speak. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit will be part of that plan. All three. We talked about that last week, and make a way for us to be saved. We talked about the role of the Father, how God the Father in 1 John chapter 3, we won't go back to that, but 1 John chapter 3, we see that how God the Father bestowed his love upon mankind. Not only that, he calls us his own children. Those that trust Christ as Savior, we are his children. Therefore, we call Abba our Father when we speak to him. And also, one day he was going to make us like Jesus. One day he will make us like Jesus. We're to be conforming now in this life to be more like Jesus as we journey here in this world. That's what God's desire is for us. We saw the role of the Son. Jesus Christ was the one who came to die for our sins. He died for the sins of who? Those that are saved, those that are lost. He died for all sin, for everybody. Also, he is the one who gives us eternal life. That's the role of the Son. We also talked about the role of the Holy Spirit. And that is that he dwells now within us. He's our comforter. He's our instructor. He's our teacher. He's our guide in this world in which we live in. So all three have a part in God's plan to save mankind. So we talked about that last week. Now, I want us to go a little further today. I want us to go back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1. We know that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, okay? Now, how did God give his Son? That's the question. How did God give his Son that all mankind might be saved? All mankind might be saved. Now, let's look in John chapter 1. Let's look at verse 1, 2, and 3. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, we find here in these verses right here that the Word, W-O-R-D, has been identified. Who is the Word? The Word has been identified. First of all, we see the Word is eternally with God. Is eternally with God. And then secondly, we see the Word is God himself. Is God himself. Read it again. In the beginning was the what? Word. In the beginning. When is the beginning? We don't know. Well, whenever the beginning was, there was the Word. That's W-O-R-D. Now notice, and the Word was with God. So there was God and the Word in the beginning, right? Whenever that was. And we see, and the Word was God. The Word was God. Okay? So there's God and the Word, which was God in the beginning. It says the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Who is him? The Word. All things were made by the Word, and without the Word was nothing, not anything made that was made. So we see here, God has identified for us the Word. He's eternally with God and God himself. Now, what is the action here where we find? Whereby that God himself has given his Son. Look in verse number 14. And the Word, there it is again, the Word. The Word was what? Made flesh. The Word was made flesh. Now, who is he speaking of here? Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, then it was found in verse 14, the Word was made flesh. So who was with God in the beginning, identified as the Word? Jesus Christ. He was in the beginning with the Father. He was the Word. Okay? He's always been. Jesus Christ was not created. Okay? He's always been. He's eternal. Just like God is. So he's always been. So we see here that God has chosen now a way, an action here, so to speak, to bring forth his Son into this world. It says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We see the making of Jesus Christ was in the flesh. He came in the flesh. He had to come in the flesh. And we see where he come from, where he come to, so to speak. He dwelt among us. Jesus Christ was in heaven with God, wasn't he? In glory. And he came down here upon this earth to live and to die for you and I. So we find here his making here and his where he is now, his move, so to speak. And then we see his magnificence. He says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, of who he was. You know, there's no doubt the people that lived in the time when Jesus lived on this earth, they saw something about that man that was different from anybody else on the face of God's earth. No doubt about it. He was a very God-man himself while he was here. He was different. It says, and we beheld his glory. Now, it's full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Now, what are we talking about here? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How did God give his Son? We find here that this action by which the Son of God literally became a man. We call it the incarnation of Christ. He literally became a man. Folks, this is a great miracle. You know, we didn't celebrate just last month the birth of a little baby, okay? We celebrated the birth of the God-man, Jesus Christ, God's Son, my Savior, your Savior. It's more than just what the world pictures it as. This is one of the greatest events that's ever taken place in the universe.
Amen.
This is a miracle, folks, as we look at the incarnation of Christ. How God himself could become a man. It's not the fact that God could become a man, but it's how God became a man. I mean, that's the miracle of it. You know, how he did it, how he performed it. I mean, God plans everything out, and God, you know, he knows what to do and how to do everything. There's nothing that he don't know. And we see here, the voluntary action, if you please, or gift of the Son of God, assuming upon himself, we find a human body and also a human nature. God in heaven with the Father, who's equal with the Father, voluntarily assumed upon himself a body and a nature to become a man for you and for me, that he might die for you and I. My, what a Savior we have, folks. The Lord Jesus Christ in one person, now with two natures united. He's one man, but he's got two natures united in that one man. The one nature being of the very eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God. Okay? The other nature is that of a man. In all respects, human. Yes, he is. But remember this, he's yet without sin. He is a man. He's in the flesh, but he's not. He's yet without sin in his body, you see. Now, when we look at the incarnation of Christ, this miracle, this is literally a miraculous conception and birth of Jesus Christ. It's miraculous. And how it could be as we look at it today. As we look at this, this is a splendor. This is, again, one of the greatest events that took place in history of the universe. We look at the creation of the angels. That was wonderful. Okay, the creation of the heavens and earth. That was wonderful. God did it all. Even the death of Christ was, you know, a miracle. You know, it was great for us as far as an event. His resurrection, his coming again, his reigning on this earth one day is a marvelous event. But folks, I'm going to tell you, this is one of the greatest events that's ever occurred in the history of the universe, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. God becoming a man. Now, let's notice here the facts about the incarnation. First of all, it's the mystery of godliness. That is the incarnation of Christ. Turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 16. We're talking about God becoming a man for you and I. The incarnation of Christ. So great salvation, folks. So great salvation. Don't forget this. God loves you. God loves me. It's the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy 3:16. The Bible says this, and without controversy, great is the mystery of what? Godliness. Notice, God was manifested in the what? Flesh. Justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in this world, received up into glory. That's our Savior. That's Jesus Christ. This is the mystery of godliness. This is a grand miracle of the Christian faith, folks. How that God could become flesh, how God did become flesh for you and I. This is a miracle. It's a miracle. This is an event that occurred in time with reference to him who himself was eternal. In other words, the eternal, who is Jesus Christ, who was in the beginning with the Father, right? He was eternal. This, the eternal himself entered into time and he became subject to the conditions of time. He became subject to time. We also see that he was the infinite and he became finite. That is God. Jesus Christ did this for you and I. He left glory. We see the invisible became visible. He took himself a body, that he might manifest himself, manifest his Father to mankind. That is Jesus Christ, you see. The Almighty in heaven with God became weak to the point that he gave himself. He laid down his life for you and for me. He could have took his life up. He had the power, but he had the love towards you and towards me that he voluntarily gave his life. He became weak. He was almighty, but he became weak for you and for me. The creator of the world became a creature. He became a creature. He became a man. Folks, this is a miracle. This is a miraculous event that took place many, many years ago. It all happened for who? For us. All of us. You see, that's why we say God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son because of this event. We're talking about the incarnation of Christ here. God became a man. He became a man, you see. And he became a man, not into an ideal world or an ideal situation, did he? He became a man into a world that's full of sin and misery and everything else you can think about, even death. He became a man in this kind of world that you and I live in even today. You see, he came, therefore, in the likeness of sinful flesh. Turn over to Romans chapter 8. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. Look at verse 3. Romans 8, 3. It says, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. Okay? God sending his own Son in the, what? Likeness of sinful flesh. And what? For sin. Condemn sin in the flesh. See, God sent his Son into the world in the likeness of sinful flesh. How do we describe this? How do we identify this? It's very hard. When God came into the flesh, his Son came into the flesh, he came in the closest relation to sinful humanity possible for him to come without himself becoming sinful. Now that is a miracle. But Jesus Christ to come as close as possible to humanity, but yet not becoming sinful. Not becoming sinful. Because we are all what? Sinful. But he did not, he come in the likeness of sinful flesh, but he was not sinful when he come into his person himself. So we see the fact of the incarnation. Now let's look at the supernatural thing about the incarnation. We know, as we study last month, or you maybe read last month, how that Christ was in truth born of the Virgin. He was in truth born of the Virgin, right? In other words, because Mary, the Bible says, was yet without, did not know a man. She did not know a man when she found out that she was with a child. Therefore, the virgin birth of Christ. Now, it was supernatural. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 1. Talk about Jesus Christ being born. His birth. Matthew, look at chapter 1. Look at verse number 18. Matthew 1, 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So this is a virgin birth speaking of right here. Then Joseph, her husband, being a man, a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now we find here in this text, there we find the fact that Jesus Christ was begotten in the womb of Mary by the Holy Ghost. By the Holy Ghost. Man had nothing to do with this. It was all God. God Himself did this. And it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that she conceived this child in her womb. It's all because of God, you see. So first of all, He was begotten. The supernatural thing about the incarnation was that He was begotten in the womb of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God in Mary's womb. Okay? Now, the second thing about the supernatural of it, it was the eternal Son of God who was conceived. The one in heaven that we talked about, that was with God in the beginning. It was Him who was conceived in Mary's womb. That's the supernatural, folks, the thing we're talking about here, how God Himself could do this. In other words, He was formed in the womb in respect of His nature, of His human nature. That's why He was born in the womb of Mary, in respect of His human nature that He had, that He took upon Himself. You see, excuse me, this is the most miraculous thing. It's the beginning of God in Mary's womb, and also the conception of this supernatural being in the womb of a lady, of a woman of nature, a natural woman, you see, and of this supernatural eternal person. How God, who is supernatural, He's eternal, could be bring Himself into the womb of a mother, of a lady on this earth, and be born through that woman. That is a supernatural miracle that only God Himself could do. And yet, when this baby come out of that woman Mary, this baby was sinless. He was sinless. He wasn't a sinner like mankind is, because it was miraculous. So we see this supernatural is evident. It's supernatural and evident. Why? Because of the preservation, if you please, of the baby Jesus from the nature of His mother Mary. It's supernatural. Because Mary had the same nature you and I have. And every child she had after Jesus that she had the same nature that Mary had. But Jesus did not have that sinful nature because He was God. He was the God-man. He came. See, Jesus came as a fashion of supernatural. Supernatural. It's more supernatural than the fact that God can miraculously and supernaturally forgive me of my sins and you of your sins and cleanse you and give you eternal life. Give you so great salvation. That's a miracle within itself. The most miraculous thing that ever take place in my life or your life is the fact that you're saved. That you're saved. Only can God do that. He came as a fashion also that guaranteed His sinlessness. God made sure that mankind knew that when Jesus Christ came on this earth, He was sinless. You read the accounts how He came, how He was conceived by the Holy Spirit of God in Mary's womb, and you see the fact that He was sinless. Man was not involved at all. It was all God's divine will and God's divine plan. We're talking about so great salvation. First of all, God's plan. For God, in this manner, loved the world and gave His only begotten Son. This is how He proved Himself to love us. He came by fashion of that preserved fully His connection with sinful man. Man did not know, Mary did not know man at all at this time. Man at this time at all. And therefore, if it was sinless, this birth was sinless when she gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ. So now, let's look at the nature. We talked about the supernatural. We talked about the fact. Now let's look at the nature of the incarnation of Christ. See, when God the Son came down on this earth, He did not cease to be who He was when He left heaven, when He became a man. Okay? In other words, it is not to be said that Godhood was exchanged for manhood. When Jesus Christ came down here on this earth and took upon Himself flesh, He did not surrender that which He had been. Back in John chapter 1, we read verses 1 and 2. He was still that. The incarnation, if you please, is like an addition. to who he already was. It's like an addition to who he was. It's not taking anything away from him, you see. It is this word, he says, it is this word who dwelt among us, the Bible says, and we beheld his glory. As glory as on the only begotten Son of God. Now that word begotten, the only begotten Son of God, literally means one of a kind. One of a kind. There has never been or there never will be anyone else born like that. Never will be or has been. God's only begotten Son was one of a kind. There will never be another one like him. So we see that this is the nature. See, the incarnation, the Son of God took human nature into union with the divine purpose, person. Bringing together divine and also human. That's what God did. That's what God did. And we see it in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. The human nature now belongs to his person, his personal life, and to his experience. He still thinks, he acts, and he also wills as God, because he's God right on, okay? But also he thinks, and he acts, and he wills as man, also while he's here in this body. That's a combination. It's something hard to explain, but I believe it. I accept it as God doing this, you see. Even though for my finite mind, I can't understand how it all took place, but I do know it took place. I do know it took place, and I accept it as that, see. We see here, he possesses all divine attributes right on. He's equally with God when he's here on this earth. He's still equal with God, the Father, and God, the Holy Spirit. Even though he has the human nature too. He's still equal right on. He hasn't changed anything about that as far as that's concerned. This is a miraculous thing. When we look at the fact that God himself, in the person of his Son, God in the person of God's Son, okay? Whenever he come and identified himself completely with you and I, the human people, he come to identify with us, to manifest himself to us. He come to identify with the human race. He come to become a kinsman, if you please, of the human family. He come to lay down his life. He come to lay down his life for the redemption for our sin. This, my friend, is a very important event when God would do that. For you and for me. He identified himself with mankind. He also, as we said, he became a kinsman of the family, the human family, and then he laid down his life to die for our sins. For our sins. To me and to you, this is an immeasurable event that took place. There's no value we can put on it. Except, hallelujah, he did it. Thank God for doing it. That's all I know to say. You know, he made it possible for us to be able to be forgiven because of what he did. Because of what he did for you and I. One God revealed himself. One God revealed himself to humanity, to you and I. Why? For our salvation. How? By becoming a human. By becoming a human being. This is what brought salvation for us. You heard the song? What's the name of the song? Salvation Came Down. I forgot the name of the song, but anyway, it's got something about that. It's how Jesus Christ left glory to come down here and become a man, that he might reveal himself to mankind. He might live a life that is sinless in front of mankind and die yet for you and I. My, what a God. What a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder that John writes, for God in this manner loved mankind that he gave his only begotten Son. The plan of God. This is God's plan, folks, for you and I. Aren't you glad that God knew what I was going to do when I was on this earth, what you were going to do when you were on this earth? And God made a gracious plan for us that we could be forgiven of what we do while we live here on this earth and trust Him, trust Christ, the one who died for us as our Savior, and be forgiven, have eternal life, have abundant life here, and one day spend eternity with Him. The incarnation of Christ, folks. This is a miraculous thing that took place. See, as the God-man, He mediates to human, to the human. But as the man God, as He was, He represents humans to God. He represents human to God. And we see, by faith, we unite with Him. And when we unite with Him, we are become the adoption as children of God. We're adopted into God's family by doing that. You see, God's plan, the coming of God's Son into the world as a man, the incarnation of Jesus Christ. What a miracle, folks. What a miracle. You see, we find in Galatians 4:4, Paul writes these words, and I'll read, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law." When the fullness of time was come, yes, over 2,000 years ago, the time come, and Jesus Christ come. He took upon Himself flesh to become your Savior and my Savior. Become my Savior and your Savior. The Bible says in John 1:14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." Now, as He dwelt among us, in closing, about this incarnation of Christ, when we look at Christ while He was here for 33 and a half years, we see Him as the perfect teacher, first of all. No one taught like Jesus taught. No one could teach the way He taught. But He became also the perfect teacher for you and I in this flesh, the incarnation. He was our Savior, yes, but He was the perfect teacher. The perfect teacher He was. We see in Jesus how God thinks and how we ought to think. Turn over to Philippians. We see in Jesus how God thinks and how we ought to think. In Philippians chapter number 2, a lot of you, these are familiar verses to you. Look at verse number 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." How we should think. How He thinks and how we think. Jesus also became the perfect example. He became the perfect example as flesh, as a man. He lived a life. He lived what we are to become. What we are to strive to become, how we are to live. And we see how, not only that, but He gives us the power to live that way. In John 1:12, right back where we were, we find God tells us this through John. "But as many as received Him, to them gave He" what? "Power to become" who? "The sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." See, He became the great, perfect teacher. He became the perfect example. And He also became the perfect sacrifice. He became the perfect sacrifice for you and I. A sacrifice for all sins. His death satisfied the requirements for God for the payment of my sins and for your sins. His death alone paid that price for you and I. Yes, God became visible. How? In Christ. God became visible in Christ. The incarnation of Christ. My, what a miracle. My, what a blessing it is for mankind. I would that all could see and understand this, to realize what God has done for mankind today. It's our job, folks, to be able to tell, to try to tell, through the power of the Spirit of God in us, tell people about Jesus this year. I hope that's our motto this year, to tell people about Jesus. Tell people about Jesus every time we have the opportunity. May God help us. May God strengthen us. Next week, we're going to take up the second part in John 3:16, that whosoever believeth in Him, we're going to look at God's purpose, the Lord willing, God's purpose in the incarnation, in so great salvation, so great salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word that You've given us. We thank You for this time, Lord, that we've had together today to open again Your Word. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for what You've done for us. God, we can't explain it. Words can't explain how our hearts feel. Lord, we're so grateful, Lord, for You allowing mankind to have the opportunity to be forgiven of our sins. We're grateful for Jesus, who not only was willing to come, but He qualified to come because He was sinless. Lord, not anyone could come and die for sin. It had to be someone that was sinless. And we know that You chose Your Son because He was sinless to come and die for us. And we thank You for that today. Lord, help us to be witnesses. Help us to be people, Lord, concerned, people telling others about this great salvation that we have through Christ Jesus. Father, bless now the service we're about to go into. As they're singing, Lord, bless our preacher. Lord, give him the words, the power to say what You laid on his heart and share with us today. Oh, God, it's our prayer today. If there's one in our midst that's lost, I pray the Spirit of God would draw that individual to Christ today before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.